Yes, people, welcome back to the Treehouse podcast. Myself, Walsh here, live and direct from Brewtang. And we've got someone I'm very, very excited about to have here today. We've got Blizzard. I am Blizzard.
I'm going
for a handshake.
Yeah,
there,
it's a handshake,
it's
man.
It's a bit sweaty up in here, but Jesus, it is what it is.
That was pretty bad, you know.
And obviously it's hot, man.
It's boiling, though.
It's got me nervous, G. It's got me nervous.
How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you?
Yeah, blessed, man. Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, man. So obviously Blizzard is someone... Everyone who watches this, you know, let's not beat around the bush. You know who Blizzard is. Everyone knows.
Don't know about that, but
nah,
yeah.
I think so.
Whatever makes you feel good, bro.
I think so.
I appreciate it.
Obviously, Blizzard's an artist from Manchester. He was like the youngest in the raves, like 11 on shoulders. If you watch the series, who talk about the Wiz days, the youth centre, powerhouse, Fielding, all these, they're all coming back to me now, but all them places, me and Blizz are actually the same age. I weren't allowed in them places. We used to get, because we was young then, we was like 10, 11. So
I was very fortunate.
He's allowed in because he's got bars. I don't have bars. I'm just trying to get in because I love it.
Yeah.
We weren't getting in. We actually had a conversation the other day about music. Was it Music Box?
Yeah, you said.
How do you not know about Music Box?
I was surprised, but then I said, bro,
I know about it, but because I wasn't one of them who was going to them, because you got to think, you had to be like 18 to get in.
Yeah.
You was getting snuck in, bro. Like
back of smoking areas.
No one's sneaking me in, you get me? I don't do nothing.
Bro, we had to climb scaffolding and all that to get in clubs just so I could spit like 16 bars and then hide for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I always forget that because for me, it was just... My cousin was telling me to go somewhere and rap and I'd get a bus ticket there and then I'd just like get dropped off later.
But that's the thing though, I think we said that in our conversation, you was like, I forget that. You I wouldn't say you had special treatment, but you got the look in where people...
I kind of did though, innit? Like, yeah, like, it was special treatment. Yeah. Like, there was no other like 12, 13 year olds getting to perform in over 18 nights. Like, yeah, I was very fortunate. Like, so.
Very well, like, it was like just though, you weren't like out of place, you know? It wasn't like a novelty thing, you was hard. You get me at like 11 in your Matalan shirt. We've heard that story.
Oh, the Matalan shirt.
I've heard that story.
The good times, man.
Yeah. So obviously, like we've just touched on, he's been around for ages. So how did you get into music, bro? And what was your like first bars?
First bars were terrible.
And who wrote them?
I did. Oh God.
So, for
a bit of backstory here, a lot of people thought that my cousin Shifty wrote for me, innit? He did, but the lyrics that I first spat were my own and I wrote them. Thank you very much. So yeah, there was that thing going around.
I know this, I'm just whining. I'm just pulling his leg.
I think thing is though, my first nickname I went for was Rude Boy because I used to watch that Ka-Ching on CBBC back in the day.
Yo, the mad flashbacks.
Yeah,
you know.
Bro, like old school, like after school watching.
You used
Ka-Ching.
To do that a bit, Ka-Ching.
Ka-Ching.
Yeah, man.
So for some reason I was just like, yeah, I'm grabbing that name, even though it was already taken on national TV at like
watched
5 PM
everybody
every day.
Our age.
Everyone, like 12 million viewers. And I was there like rapping like, I'm a rude boy, I am my own man, don't mess with me, I'm a lyrical clan. Like, what the fuck's a lyrical clan? Like, there's a group of people and I'm saying, this is my lyrical group of people. Like, do you remember when everyone used to say lyrical?
Yeah.
Like, I'll lyrically shoot you. Yeah.
Lyrically murk, man.
Lyrically end a guy.
It was.
It was never like, I will literally, like, it's never any of that, you know what I mean?
I will literally punch you up. I will lyrically punch you up.
You don't want to get literally killed. That's a charge, that. That's a charge waiting to happen.
So yeah, so they was like your first bar. So obviously you just touched on it then, Shifty was your cousin. Obviously everyone, he comes up in every episode. Old tight Shifty, man. Shout out. The godfather in this, man. So was he the inspiration for you getting into music? Or was it like you had other inspirations and then you went, wait a minute, my cousin's doing something similar, and then that's how did that come about, bro?
It's interesting because like, I was just going to like, so basically Shifty's mum and my mum are twin sisters, innit? So we've always been very close.
Twins.
Yeah.
Oh, right, so I didn't know that.
We've always been very close anyway. And like, I always used to look up to like Shifty and Trim, Shifty's brother.
Yeah.
And then like I had my cousin Martin, who is a DJ, used to do dubstep production and DJ and like when it was just starting. And when I used to like go round to my cousins when I was like 10, maybe, yeah, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
They would have decks in the room and they'd all like be rapping and it was just like a little set, but it was literally like the decks were in the corner and then there was the bedroom and the bed and that.
Yeah.
And I just saw that as like there were the adults just like having fun and that and like listening to tunes, but I didn't really know what was going on. And then as I got older, like I got to like 11, maybe, yeah, like as I was touching 11, obviously I heard Eminem and I heard like even like Immortal Technique and Jay-Z, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I always loved creative writing as a kid. I was always into poetry and I was always into writing short stories.
Is that in like school and stuff?
In school, yeah. So like as I was like going into like year six, year seven, I was always into just like writing. I used to do like really like deep stories and I was always excelling in English and like creative writing. So
yeah, wordsmith vibes.
To a degree, yeah. And then obviously, I think there was a time when I was just like, felt a bit like when like in Hamilton where like Alexander Hamilton's son comes up and he's like, I just wrote a lyric, listen to it. I just did that with Shifty and was like, I just wrote this down. And he was like, yeah, you got something that's sick, you know. But I had the multisyllabics down from very early. Like, I don't know how I picked it up,
yeah.
But the way people weren't rhyming like fat, sat, cat, mat, I was like putting five syllables together and finding how they worked, and I just sort of got the formula for it. So like Shifty helped me tighten up my flow, yeah. And then after a while, like after about a year or so, he took me to Fielding to record, and we did what's the tune called, Deep Flows, over like a low deep beat, and that was in like 2006.
Yeah,
so that was my first ever like entry into
this. Was like Squeaky
spin.
Voice Blizzard and that,
it's proper,
like, yeah,
like Balls Aren't Drops, like like, you know them ones where like the microphone stand didn't go as low as I stood, yeah. So I'm there like
Yellow Pages, like, bro, Yellow Pages,
bro, full on Yellow Pages, bro, like full on. So
yeah, we was just on about
having
that,
to hold the microphone with the XLR like that.
Yeah,
yeah. So I was fortunate though, because like I got to go Fielding, and Fielding was only down the road for me. It was just a 23 there. So like you see Laser and like you see K1 and you see like Slay and Rem and Overs and Loons and that, like I just saw loads of talented people just were in Fielding though, innit? Like yeah, for me, yeah. They were just like mates. They were just like the oldest who I looked up to and was like, yous are all spitting sick bars, bro.
Yeah.
And then I actually ended up like really enjoying it, and I mean, it just had to happen, innit? Like without sounding name droppy, like I was around Shifty 24/7, you know what I mean? Like I was gonna get some sort of inspiration from him, yeah. And know how he puts things together and hearing lyrics before they were made. And like every now and again, I would even say like, maybe you should put that word there. And he's like, see, this is why, this is
yeah,
it.
This
like,
is why I have you around.
Yeah, is, yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's kind of like my first sort of soiree with Grime. Yeah. And
I gotta say though, man, having like, I know he's your cousin, so obviously it goes without saying, but having that access to Shifty at that time is,
again,
unbelievable.
This is the thing, like, you're sort of ignorant to it, though, because that's just your cousin,
yeah, that's
isn't
what
it?
I'm
like,
saying.
He's, like fake fighting with me and that, and choke slamming me and all that, and, like, sending me to the shop and that because I'm young, and, like, I'm getting in Red Bulls and Quavers and that, and, like, people still, like, saying, like, yo, Shifty's your cousin, how sick is that? And I'm just there, like, that's fucking Meathead Warren, bro.
Yeah,
like,
I'm like, yo, he like, fucking sends me shop, yo.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, he tells me I've got to give him 12p change back after, like, getting in Red Bull and that, snide bastard.
Yeah, get that but, change in. Old time Shifty, man.
Yeah, so for me, it was. I'm not gonna say that like I'm not grateful for having that around me, because
I
am extremely grateful and I'm extremely privileged as well. But you don't really think about it really, because like if Eric Cantona was your dad's still telling you to go to your room, innit?
Yeah,
like your dad's just
yeah,
there like
your...
you're being a dick, go to your room, but like you still
it's all you
football.
Know, innit?
It's all you know.
Yeah.
It's just normal to you.
That's just big cousin, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I would roll with my cousins, just my cousin weren't shifting.
But if your cousin blew, yeah, and just went mad big and like started selling like $3,000 worth of tapes on a Saturday afternoon on Market Street, like you wouldn't even think, would you? You'd just be like, that's just still, he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, still my big cuz from like,
exactly.
Yeah, growing up and that. So obviously from the early days, bro, you was part of like the Mayhem. We got to touch on Mayhem and Big Light EA.
Yeah.
Because that, you man, in Manchester, for me, you man were the guys in it. Used obviously there was crews around.
There was so much around,
but
though.
For me
it?
Personally, I was a Mayhem kid in it. I liked Mayhem. But when I say Mayhem, I'm not on about like, because I know these old Mayhem as well, but that was a bit before my time for like, obviously I was around then, but I weren't listening to that type because I was like fucking 5, 6, 7 and whatever years old. But then when you did music, I'm the same age as you, so I'm at that age where you're getting into that music. That's when our age group got into, so it was when Mayhem was,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I get a bit of imposter syndrome about that, because really, I wasn't as Mayhem as the old school members.
Yeah, 100%.
I did get in on a technicality, you know what I mean? Like, I was Shifty's cousin, so I got brought through. But
you got you got this job on a recommendation of
exactly
a legend.
So I mean, good night. Yeah. So like, I'm completely conscious of the fact that like it was enlightening in a bottle, right place at the right time moment. I just happened to be in the studio when we needed something to do for a competition. But I don't not for a second do I take for granted that, yeah, I got in on the technicality, literally. Yeah. Like, there was 15 members of Mayhem, or like however many there was. There was Jazz, and there was like, you know, Slay, Rem, fucking so many people that I can't
people
even
were like in it, not in it, some like yeah for a little bit or whatever. It yeah was one of them, innit? It was like,
so I always felt really guilty about it. Like, I mean, I still did the verse and I still produced the tune. So, you know, yeah, Big Light EA is a big part.
How old was you then when you produced that tune?
I was 10 when I made that.
That is so fucking mental, excuse me.
I was a nerd though, man. I had no friends, so what else was I going to do? Like Pokemon got boring for me, so I just picked up FL, you know what I mean?
It was like Pokemon shit, let's play Fruity Loops.
Yeah, bro. I 100%ed Pokemon, like a level 100 Pikachu, and I was like, yeah. I started out on EJ. If you remember EJ, it's like absolute Weeos fucking music. You get it in a cereal box, like EJ Hip Hop 2000. And
what's that, a program?
Yeah,
like a
door,
okay,
but like it was all loop based stuff. So you couldn't like, there was no piano roll. It was just like you put in a drum and a melody. That was my first ever
right experience.
And then I got Fruity Loops off my cousin Martin Snow. And thing is, like, a lot of people around me were producing. So, like, I was around Jammy D a lot, and he produced, like, Coming For You for Shifty and What's This I'm Hearing. And, like, even Slay was producing, and Rem, and everyone was using Reason. And, you know, I think it was just something I found really interesting. It felt like production to me was, like, problem solving.
Yeah.
Like, it was working out an equation to a banger. I mean,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I just really loved it. But, yeah, Big Light EA I made when I was about 10, probably touching on 11, because EA came out in 2007 and we're in 2022 now, so yeah, about 15 years ago.
So how, because you just said that was for a competition, obviously I know the story, so
yeah,
for the people who don't know, how did that come about? EA didn't just phone you and say
hello
Blizz.
Brad.
What are you doing today, mate? You got any spare time?
I can't remember exactly where the invite came from, but the year before that, it was like Sway was there and Biggs was there, and they were doing EA Big in the Game, which was you'd enter your music, and we literally made our tune like 2 days before deadline. Like, I had this beat. Slay had the Big Light EA lyrics like 3 years before. That was his like reload lyric, and me and Shifty wrote our bars like on the same night. So we performed it, and I think the original show was at Picture and Piano, which I don't even think is there anymore.
Yeah.
And then we did one at Live Cafe, which was like the final. But I think Shifty was the one that entered it for us. But I just happened to be there, and he was like, yo, we're doing this show. We need to perform a tune, but it needs to be a new tune. So I had no idea of the gravity of it. But
right, yeah,
the person who won the competition got a music video created by Electronic Arts, who did Need for Speed and FIFA and all that. So again, we won this competition, and I was like 12. Like, DJ Target was there, N-Dubs were performing on a night, and this was like, I remember N-Dubs, like, Dap gave me his number on the back of like a piece of paper and was like, yeah, you're sick, bro, like, big up. And we like spoke to him afterwards.
That
about,
is
like,
old school.
We went to Club CC in Mayfair maybe 6 months after, and we met with them beforehand and had pizza and that. And N-Dubs weren't signed at this point. They only had like I Swear Out and Better Waste My Time.
Yeah.
They just blew up
because
Channel U was massive. So Big Light EA was like our first sort of introduction to Channel U. I never saw my song in real time playing on Sky because I never had Sky as a kid. I only had Freeview and like Virgin.
That's nuts.
So I didn't know the gravity of what was going on. I knew it was being played on TV, but Market Street changed forever for me because people actually knew who I was.
People knew
I'm Blizzard of Mayhem and all that. It was mad. Like, you don't know the good old days till you leave them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you
like,
can look back at it. Yeah. Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Hindsight's beautiful, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, you've won that competition. You got the video.
Yeah.
The video, I personally think, would still stand up today. Like, obviously, you had it's sick. Like, obviously, the graphics or whatever would be different now because of things evolving and all that. But, like, the concept of the video is what I mean. Like, yeah. as a player in the community. You get sucked into, is it Need for Speed?
Yeah,
that's what
So you become a part of Need for Speed. Like, there was no music videos out there like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would stand the test of time, in my opinion, because it was ahead of its time.
It was crazy. And I think things like that happening really make you respect and, you know, understand quality control and understanding that, you know, you can't put half-ass shit out in it. You know what I mean? You can't just dilly-dally through it. You need to be very strategic with the way you move. And, like, that music video was perfect at the time it came out because there was no music videos like that anywhere unless you're talking, like, multi-million pound, like, American
like chart music videos.
Yeah, like Justin Timberlake or fucking, you know, Beyonce. Like, not saying it was on that caliber, but what I mean is, like, in the UK scene, there was a bit of a blueprint, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of, like, rapping to the camera, very performance-focused shots. There was no real concepts in music videos.
Yeah.
And if there was concepts, it was, like, very, very basic stuff.
Yeah.
But this was, like, a whole planned out treatment.
And because EA did it, they made the game, the graphics.
Yeah.
And it was bang. It's not like you tried to do a Need for Speed things yourself. Cause
it was certified.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It was certified because it was done by the people who had that game in their arsenal.
So how did life change for Blizzard after that then? Because I know things would, like you just touched on yourself, people knew you then. So then, was you getting more like, because when you started doing music, I gather people would have been maybe dismissive because you was young, or not dismissive, but maybe that's the wrong word, maybe like didn't take you as serious or thought he's just the kid that they roll with or something like that. Whereas obviously, to be the person you are today, you've obviously gone through a transition of that.
100%.
Of like, so what was that, was big like EA, that turning point? That's the kind of point I'm kind of trying to make.
I mean, it definitely was like the springboard for everything, but it took me about maybe 3 or 4 years to understand what was going on. Because if you think about it, like, I'm 11. So what life crazy, experience man. Do you have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all I know is I love MCing, I love producing, and I'm hanging around with a lot of older people, but that to me is normal. Like, I don't see people as they're 25, they're 30, they're 21, whatever. I just see you as you are my fellow people. We MC and we enjoy this hobby. So when you, like, break it down, like, it just felt normal. It just felt like going to youth club, but going to youth club in loads of different places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, loads of different ones.
I didn't, again, like, when I was watching the podcast back, your ones and stuff, and people talking about Wiz and talking about Powerhouse, I didn't really know anything about it because I'd get snuck in there, and then when I finish my bit, I'd just end up going back home. So I didn't feel the vibe of everything going on.
Yeah, you weren't, like, in there soaking it up. You just got in, snuck in, did your thing, got out type thing.
I know this is probably, like, making it for a very boring podcast because I'm there, like, I don't remember a lot of it. I don't understand the gravity of it. But, like, I do remember, like, I think Hypes might know this down there. Like, I feel like I went to Wiz once, and I think Twin Cali and Merkdon were clashing. And I think I remember how, like, mad that was.
It might not have even Twin Cali, man.
Yeah, man. I might be thinking of something completely different. I remember Merkdon was clashing. He was doing like 2999. Like, I remember all that, and I just remember thinking, like, this is such a sick thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like I'm actually a part of something now, because when I was growing up and stuff, like, I got bullied a bit, and people used to take piss out of me and stuff. Like, I was a chubby little white kid, bit of a chav, like, didn't really have
chav,
like,
life, mate. I'm a chav.
Chav life. Like,
mate.
I embrace it now.
Everyone dresses like us now, anyway.
That's what I'm
Everyone
saying,
wears
that's
Air
what I'm
Max,
saying.
Innit?
But yeah, I didn't really get it. Like, all I knew was I'm okay at MCing. I can spit, I can produce, so I'm gonna do that. And like, going to fucking, like, youth clubs and that just felt like a normal thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up that I actually grew up in these places, you know what I mean? Like, some people grow up in snooker halls, some people grow up because, like, the dad owned a pub, and all they know is, like, being life. Around the pub and, like, dad pouring pints and that. For me, it was like being in front of a microphone, speakers and sets and that.
Yeah.
And it's a weird one. Like, hindsight's beautiful, isn't it?
Did you get, like, a lot more, like, recognition after that? Because for me, I'll be honest, I knew about you, but I didn't know what you looked like until the big, like, EA video.
This
because where else am I going to see you?
Yeah.
I knew about you. I would hear like tapes, like my older cousins would play sets or whatever. Yeah. You might have been on there or to listen to when Unity was like internet beast and all, you know, obviously you was around them times. Like yeah. You might have been on there or there might be a tune off a Shifty Tape that you're on or whatever.
But yeah, so you I would seen hit,
yeah,
that,
I don't yeah. know yeah. what this guy looks like. I don't, and then the big like, and then I'm looking and I'm like, he's my age, bro. Like,
yeah.
Like obviously I could tell you was younger by your voice.
Yeah, of course.
Because that goes,
yeah.
if you got past the mic from a 16-year-old Shifty or whatever to like you.
Yeah, big gonna, change.
There's going to be a change, yeah. So yeah. I knew you was younger, but then for me, I was like, it was mad, like seeing you.
Yeah.
On like, do you know what I mean? When we're just, I'm thinking, right, he's like same age as me. This is crazy, and he's with all them that we,
yeah,
me and my friends who were my age looked up to type thing.
It would. I mean, I know it helped Shifty sell a lot more CDs because boy, like we Shifty could sort of blend in a bit. Like Shifty looked like just any other white guy wearing a trackie. You know what yeah. I mean? Like not yeah. no offense to him, but yeah. like you know.
I know what you mean.
Everyone looks,
he's not got distinctive features as he's not yeah, like got a red yeah. Mohican or something like
but
that.
But then you see like you see me and you see Slay and Shifty and then you see like the 3 foot white kid with a cue ball head and like a really short, you know what I mean, wearing like fucking Adidas trackies and that, like I stick out like so fun. So yeah, Market Street changed forever because I didn't look like the archetypal MC, you know yeah. what I mean? Like I wasn't.
You look like the kids who were buying the CDs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly. But I think that kind of helped in a way because it made it more accessible for people that were like our age because you didn't really see it a lot. Like you see it in America, like you had a little Bow Wow and all that kind of stuff. And you see like we had SBD and we had people like that, but in Manchester and probably in the UK as well, we had Ice Kid and we had Chip, but even Chip was like 15, 16 when he started yeah. coming out. No one was 12 and 13, no. you know what I mean? So
yeah, I can't,
it did help a lot. Yeah, I can't really. I think, like, how old was Bow Wow? Like 13, 14.
Yeah, but he would have been young, but he got that American bring through. That's a, we're talking yeah, about the Shifty yeah. bring through. That's a
it's a different yeah, story.
Them man yeah. are on next levels because of where they were at the time in terms of their music scene and stuff. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah getting recognised is weird though. Like,
bro, it happened to me last night.
Did it?
It was so weird. So weird. Shout out my man because he said he watches the podcast. I didn't ask him his name.
Did he know which one it was from? Like, or did he just watch all?
No, he just come up to me. I was at the bar and he was like, "Yo," I was like, "Yo, I'd never seen this guy in my life before," and he was like, "You do the Treehouse podcast?" So I was like, "Yeah," thinking my man turned around and go, "That's fucking shit," or something. I was like, "Yeah, it knocked me a bit because like it's happened to me once before, but it was in like a bit of a different setting and it was a bit, it sort of went over my head. I didn't really take it in. Whereas last night it sort of happened to me and I stood at the bar because I was waiting for to get served. And I'm like,
Ross. Yeah, that's like gonna happen a lot.
One
more,
of them,
bro,
and 100%. He just said, "Oh, you do the Treehouse podcast." So I said, "Yeah," and he was like, "Oh, big up, man, I like it," and shook my hand, and I said, "Oh, nice one." It's just a quick little.
Yeah.
But for me, that even for me, and I'm not an artist, so I imagine what you get like when you're out and about, and during different. We spoke about this off camera. Blizzards live like Sleazy, like I said, is 10 lives, but it's not 10 lives. It's like 10 time periods,
yeah
so to speak. So like you was there in the youth centre days, you was there in the like internet radio sets type, that sort of, they sort of like crossover into one. Then we had like the mayhem phase of you, and then you doing like, then you started doing like your,
don't
flop, you had F64s, all that.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So you was one of them guys who has an original SBTV F64 where it's the old school pull up with the camera.
Yeah,
it's not you're not on a, no offense to anyone, not an offense, because the way things run now, freestyles, it's loads better. So like a P110 Hood's Hottest, that's just you've already recorded, you've already put that down, that's pre-recorded, and that's cool because like we just said, the quality control you touched on before has gone up in that sense. But there's something in me that I love that old gritty.
I'm into it too, yeah.
Yeah, like pull up, play the beat off someone's car or play the beat off someone's phone, or he's got a Bluetooth speaker, play that beat and you're just gonna, if an ambulance goes past, we'll just retake it, or we might even just let it, you know what I mean?
And I've done both, and you know
what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is the point I'm making. You've lived through all of them, so it's good for you to be here and talk through them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting because like, I think everyone's got a preference and how they like their freestyles.
Yeah.
And And the same with like with battle rap and stuff. Like some people prefer the pit, which is like on the ground, or some people prefer the stage. And yeah. I'm lucky to have done both.
What do you prefer? Out of interest,
I'm a pit guy, man.
I'm a pit guy if it's the right environment, if it's too sweaty and all that in there, you know what I'm saying?
Saying that, I feel like my best performances have all been on stages. You know what I mean? Like my battle with Pamphlet and my battle with Lego are both on stages.
Yeah.
Mark Grist was in the pit.
Mark
Grist battle was in the pit. H-Bomb was in the pit.
I forgot about H-Bomb.
That's what I mean. Like,
that's a sick
Rome was in the pit as well. Like so... The battles I've won that actually I smashed, I feel like were better because they were on the stage. And I think that probably comes from being on stages as an MC.
I was literally just about to say...
I've only just picked that myself.
Do you think, when you were saying it, that's when it clicked for me. Do you think that because you've had that...
Yeah.
There was a video floating around on Instagram the other day. I'll try and get it to pop up now. I don't know where it's Mayhem on stage. You and
Phil the Niche,
and Slay, you, Slay and Bro. Shift have all shared it, that video, and you're super young, like,
Mad.
You're on stage. So do you think that has probably subconsciously done you justice?
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Just with what you're saying about the stage.
Now, in retrospect, when I say that, I think maybe I'm looking at it from how I like watching battles rather than being part of them. Watching battles, I think, look better in the pit. But maybe being a part of the battle maybe feels better to me on the stage because it's what I'm used to. It's my bread and butter, isn't it?
Yeah. Guy was born for the stage, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, don't flop, bro. Let's touch on that because you had some sick clashes. The question... Can't even do it without laughing. The question on everyone's mind.
Here he goes. Was Mark Grist my teacher? And the answer's no, Walshy.
No, he wasn't.
He was not. He taught me a lesson, but it wasn't in a classroom environment.
It was in the pit.
Yeah, it was in the pit.
Nah, obviously, the reason we're bringing that up and we're laughing the way we're laughing because it's like a little joke between me and Blizz that, like, every so often I'll just message him and ask him, is Mark Grist his teacher? Because Mark Grist was not his teacher. If anyone ever thought that, you're an idiot.
It was
I'm
funny
sorry.
The first 700 times.
Yeah,
guys.
But then obviously everything he's ever... What year was that battle?
Now we're talking. 2012.
I was going to say 13. Yeah. 12, 13.
I think it's 10 years old.
Yeah, so it's about 10 years, For 10 years, this guy has got this same question. Was he your teacher?
But I still get people come up to me and say, are you the guy that battled his teacher? And it's like, yes. But is that all you know? Like,
but he's not my teacher.
I just dropped a track, man. Like, and he's not my teacher. So there's that. Yeah.
So do you feel like sometimes... I don't think this for you, but it's just come to me now. Like, you can have a viral moment and that can be the be all and end all. Like, that's all people will remember you for. Do you think that that's a thing?
I felt like that for about 4 years after the battle drops because that's all I was getting. But at the end of the day, I didn't really do myself any justice because I could have put music out and didn't. But yeah, I definitely... when I did the Mark Grist battle, the following year, I had a whole summer of shows in places I've never performed in with people that I've never performed with to places that I didn't even know had Blizzard listeners. Like,
so it got you in the door.
It did get me in the door, you know what I mean? Like, and I know for a fact that Fire in the Booth happened because of the battle with Mark Grist. Like, they weren't replying to my emails. No offense, like, I don't, you know,
happens,
it is what it is.
Yeah,
like,
it happens.
I told this story the other day where in the wake of Jamal Edwards dying.
R.I.P. Jamal as well, man.
Yeah, when he passed away, I had to tell people about how he originally said no when I asked him about the warm-up session. And he didn't do it in an offensive way. He just messaged me and said, listen, Blizz, you're not ready yet. And I didn't take it personally. I think maybe I was a bit like, I'm annoyed because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But then 6 months later, I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to do more music and I'm going to show you I'm capable.
Do you think he said that to you so you would do that?
I think he wanted me to do well.
Yeah,
I think he wanted me to do well. And I feel like at the end of the day, this just goes to show Jamal respected his brand more than anything. Like, this is why he wouldn't let anyone else film F64s. You know that, right?
Yeah, he filmed them himself.
Yeah, he filmed every F64. Maybe, I don't know if it changed like later on, but like the same camera that recorded Gets and that recorded Margs, Professor Green, Ed Sheeran,
what was my man in the car park, bro? You'll remember, I can't remember his name. white guy with a cap. Was he called like?
Oh, Elro.
Yeah, Elro, yeah, that's yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, it was the on guy, the tip of my tongue. That one was nuts.
Elro's great.
Yeah,
Elro Dubai. Yeah, legend.
Was that an F64 warm up?
He did a warm up on an F64, yeah. I believe. I think he was one of them where some people did an F64, but did it before they did a warm up. I don't know why that was, but I think Elro's was an F64. And then the warm-up session, I might be chatting pure
yeah,
laugh.
Yeah, we're getting yeah, it there wrong,
yeah,
innit?
Yeah.
Moving on.
Cut that. Cut. So, yeah, Elro's was amazing.
Yeah.
And Elro's the dude. And I respect Elro because he talks about mental health a lot. And he was one of the first people to actually do it. And it got yeah. me doing it as well. So I respect him for that. And, yeah, talking to Jamal, man, like, Jamal understood his vision more than anyone. And I don't really think anyone could guide him in a different direction. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like a pioneer of knowing what you need to do and knowing what works. Like, yeah, he's a visionary, mate. Was a visionary.
100%. R.I.P. Jamal Edwards, man.
Yeah.
So you just briefly touched on it there, bro. Like Elro doing the mental health, speaking about mental health, being open. You're quite honest. Well, not quite. You are very honest and open about your struggles and issues with mental health through Twitter, through your music, through other social platforms that you might use or other ways you get stuff out there.
Sure, yeah.
And we've got a project coming. Well, not we, sorry, you. I'm saying we like I'm on there.
Yeah, he made it as well.
Yeah, co-producer.
I've just learned this now.
Same. But yeah, he has obviously got a project coming, Blizzard. Not we, he, Blizzard. He's got the project coming. And he's a song off there that's already... It's out, isn't
sometimes
it? Sometimes, yeah, that's the one I'm on about,
So he's being careful because he's heard most of
I didn't want to say the wrong name, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, with Sometimes, it's very, not very, it's more, like, deep rather than, like, the typical Cammy grime, because you've done a Cammy rhythm.
Yeah.
You murked off Boris Johnson the other day. Like, and also, sec as well, just very, very quickly on the Boris Johnson thing, I seen... your missus put on a story, you reshared it, that's I've seen it, I don't follow you, missus, I'm not a weirdo. His missus had put on, she'd shared the Boris tune and put, I literally live with this man and I do not know when he snuck off to record this.
Yeah,
one, I got two questions. That. One, how big is your house? And two, how are your ninja skills? Are you sneaking around? Like, when I seen that, I imagined Mission Impossible music.
Yeah.
You commando crawling past the breakfast bar.
Ah, mate.
Your missus is working. She's like, oh, well, Brad must have just nipped out or whatever. And you're just, So how did that come about? We'll just touch on that one before we go into, because it's relevant and it's new. It's the latest thing, innit? So how did
first
the Boris
off,
thing?
I'm in an apartment. I'm not in Drake territory.
Like East Wing and West Wing and that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, on that, yeah.
Like, I don't use a walkie-talkie to get a beverage and all that. like trophies vibes. But what happened was, I woke up in the morning and my missus works in news and music. Like, she works at BBC Sounds.
Okay.
So she's across all of the stuff that goes on in, like, current affairs.
Yeah.
And she will curate stuff for BBC Sounds.
BBC Sounds, yeah.
Yeah, so when we found out Boris was... So originally, I wrote the track in the morning of Boris resigning, but I wrote the track in the perspective of him, he should resign because it hadn't been confirmed yet.
Yeah.
So I already had like a little bit of an idea about how I'm going to say how I think Boris should resign.
Yeah.
And then my missus shouts in, Boris has resigned. And I'm like, oh yes, but oh, I've just got a whole track that I've started that's all about him. Maybe he should resign.
Maybe he should.
So then I had to like do a bit of changing around and stuff like that. And the beat I was already making, I was literally like, I did the tune like an hour after. Like I just like did a 32 bar, recorded it, mixed it, uploaded it to YouTube and done. Like at the end of the day, like I just thought Munya's going to get there first anyway. So Munya's going to get like 7 million views off the back of it. So
try and beat him.
Let me try and beat him to the punch. Obviously mine got about 4 views and it's probably got loads, but yeah, that's like.
Nah, it's got more than that. It's got, we'll have
he
more
did
all
right,
that.
Yeah.
He did well on Instagram. Yeah. I've seen it getting shared about. And
no, it did. It was good. I think at the end of the day, like, I just want to have a laugh with it. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't always have to be serious. Like, I think there's a time and a place. And at the end of the day, I come from grime, and grime is very bravado and very energetic and very, like, you know, talking, busting your gun, you know what I mean? Talking about how good you are. But sometimes you don't need to do that. Sometimes you can sort of like segue off a bit and sort of go off piste and try something different, which is what I do in spades. Like, I just want to do the music that feels right to me at that specific moment in time. Music's very personal to me. Music's very introspective. It's my catharsis. It's my therapy. I do it because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want to rant about Boris because that's what was going through my head at the time. Yeah. And rather than holding it in and, you know, feeling glum about it all day, I'll just put it on a song because I know that it will help me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, just like with the contrast of the way that conversation went in and what you just said, is like, you do whatever comes to you in that moment. So if you're having a sad day or a down day or whatever people want to call it, you might not be feeling yourself. Something could have happened that's you could have been having the best day ever. Something could have thrown you. You've had a wobbler, bit of a wobbler, anxiety, whatever's kicking in. You might then make something a bit more deep, bit like sometimes.
Yeah, yeah,
and
when did
the Boris thing, when did he resign? About 3 days ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes probably came out probably 10 days before that.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe a little bit, maybe say two weeks at a push. So in the space of 2 weeks, we've got sometimes, which is a deep, like blizzard, like how Caesar said. I like what Caesar said in the previous episode of like his tune, the title track, Equivalent Exchange. It's like he's cut open and he said something like, if you don't know me and you listen to that track, you now know something
that's
about
exactly
me or whatever.
What I'm going for,
that's the thing. But then at the same time, you've done that, which is like, this is this side of me, but you're not just doom and gloom, whatever. You're not just constantly stuck in a bad place. It goes to show that like, with the mental health side, and you compare it to the music, so it's like that.
Yeah.
And you imagine
it's
the mental health
troughs,
to be doing that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a testament to you and the way you are as an artist, that, and like how I said to you before, you're very honest and open. Because you might have a day where you're thinking, fuck Boris, let's make a tune about Boris, it's all fun and games.
This is why I needed to have a studio set up in my flat.
Yeah, like, and I've seen you speak about this before, and I think probably me personally, from knowing you on a level as well.
Best thing I ever did for myself.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
If you've got that outlet there, he needs that outlet there because the moment could take him at any moment.
And I'm very.
Do you know what I mean? Whether that be a good moment or a bad moment.
Yeah, because I'm very sporadic in the way I operate, and my brain is very busy.
Yeah.
And sometimes something comes to the forefront, and I can't let it go. So for me, back in the day, like 4 or 5 years ago, when I wanted to record a tune, I'd have to arrange studio.
Yeah.
I'd have to make my way to the studio. I'd have to get a beat. I'd have to, or have a beat ready. And then I'd have to like tell my engineer what I want. But like now I've cut out that completely, and I can have that feeling captured as soon as it's there.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, the album I'm working on is called Demons Living Rent Free.
Yeah.
And like, I want to drop it at the end of the year. It's a concept album, and the album name is pretty self-explanatory. It's about the demons that I have on a day-to-day basis, whether that be my self-esteem, whether that be financial issues, whether that be lack of self-confidence. All of this stuff just comes in waves. And, you know, life can throw unexpected curveballs at you, and sometimes you don't really know how to approach them. And I'm trying to get across that in the music because, you know, life is uncertain, circumstances change all the time. You think things are going a certain way and they don't go a certain way. And my album goes over all of this stuff. Like, you know, relationships aren't always peachy, you know what I mean? Like, I love my fiance to bits and everything's great with us, but it wasn't always easy, you know what I mean? Like, we've been in really difficult situations financially. We're in a really shit flat when we lived in London, we're broke, and all of this stuff everyone goes through at some point. We've all been skint. We've all been in a house or a flat we didn't like, or, you know, we've all struggled with bills. We've all felt bad some days and we don't want to get out of bed. Like, at the end of the day, why am I going to, like, hide that?
Yeah.
Because it's normal, and I don't think there's any point in sort of, you know, just keeping it in for the sake of saving face. Like, I'm an open book. I want people to know my story. And if you don't want to know my story, you don't have to listen. But if you listen and you actually appreciate what's being said and it helps you, then that's my job done. I can take that off the list.
Yeah, 100%.
And get on to the next one. So
yeah. And obviously, like you said before, I had to be careful with what I was saying because I have heard a fair bit of the album.
He blew
up my WhatsApp the other day. I had to get a new phone. It melted my phone. It was that hard, I swear. I'm not even gassing, but from the things I heard, there's a bit of a contrast in the album as well. It's not all like sometimes we'll say.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it is a bit more...
Some of it's happy. Yeah, you know what I mean,
like, and a bit
some
more,
of it's elated.
I want to say like upbeat, but not upbeat. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not trying to downplay the others that they're like really low and whatever. But you know what? You're a music man. You know what I'm trying to say, innit?
Yeah.
There's the contrast in the thing, but the contrast in the music is there. But I think the message and the overall tone of the album fits within a box.
Yeah.
Together.
I think. If you look at it and sort of when the album does come out, if you listen to it the way it was intended to be listened to from track one to the end, you'll understand that the way my brain works isn't very different to how most people's brains work, but mine seems to be a lot more hyper focused in certain emotions in certain stages.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes being broke to me felt like my life is over, I can't live, like I want to kill myself, I'm fucking miserable. But to other people, they might see that as a bit like, fucking hell, like, it's just money, money, you know, comes and goes.
Yeah.
So the whole point is, like, my head will always be busy, but it depends how my brain populates itself in any given moment. So, like, I was messaging my missus on the way here, and, you know, when I'm doing musical things, I'm great, I'm euphoric, I'm happy because I'm doing something that I love to do. Well, then tomorrow I start my job and I'm doing a 9-to-5 again, and then I remember, oh my god, like, I don't have uni for 3 months and I'm miserable because, you know, I'm doing customer service again. Like, life just hits you with peaks and troughs and you don't know how to cope with it. And I want this music to come across as authentic as it felt to me at the time. Like, I don't, like, if I sugarcoat things just for the sake of making it an easy listen, it defeats the point of the project completely.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's the, I mean, like, I've got a track on the album where I'm at a doctor's and I need help and I need to get counselling, but the waiting list is too long. And
which is a real situation, by the way.
Of course it is.
For anyone who doesn't,
like,
know.
I'm still on the waiting list for counselling at the moment and I've been waiting weeks, but, like, at the end of the day, you know, you do need to help yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
But to me, the album was all I had. Like, it was the thing that sort of kept
your
me
outlet.
Through the dark days.
Your outlet, innit? You vent through your music. Like,
absolutely.
Some people go for a run, some people go gym, some people hit a bag. Like, everyone has their own vice that they do to either release energy, emotions, something
absolutely.
Like that. And you... it's music, but you don't just do music, you pour that into your music. And I think that's, for me personally, that's what makes me drawn to an artist like yourself, because I'm like, we know each other on a personal level, but like, not super tight. Like,
no,
we didn't grow up together.
But we've always been aware
of each other.
We've
always bumped into each other and been cool and stuff like that. But I wouldn't say, like, me and you were, like, I say we're friends, but I wouldn't say we're, like, really close friends. I couldn't tell you your birthday. I couldn't tell you your favourite colour. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, that type of thing. But I just think that, for me, when I listen to your music, I feel like instead of getting that information, like your birthday, you things that you would know about your mate.
Yeah,
I get
that.
Things in the music.
100%.
And I get stories, or I watch you on a different podcast, or I watch you do a battle, and different things come out. And because I've followed through the years,
you know,
I pick
what
up
I meant.
Things, and I can see, oh, that was a good time for him, or shit, maybe he's not in a good place there, or...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can sort of read that, and I feel like I won't be the only one. You will have other fans, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think people are going to be a bit like, I know I'm going to get messages from people when this album drops, like, are you okay? Should I call someone? And, like, you know, what's going through your mind?
Out them people, though.
Shout out them people, though.
That is important, man. You do need to be tapping in with your people. If you think someone's upset or whatever, even just a message, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Because
at the end of the day, like, I think there is a thing of toxic masculinity, innit, where... guys don't really talking about the mates.
I'm
cool, man. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, I'm
blessed, man. It's all going to pass. But it's like, I know friends that have spoken to me about that and then killed themselves a year later. And, like,
fucking
you
hell.
Know, it makes you think, fucking hell, what could I have done?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they didn't want to talk about it. Maybe it's toxic masculinity. Maybe it's embarrassment.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to say it like this, I'm screaming, like, mental health is not a problem of yours. It's a problem of everyone's, isn't it? Like, we all go through shit.
Yeah.
We all have dark times. And even, like, I don't know, you know what it is, like, when I grew up with my mum and dad, like, I was in the typical 2.1 kids or whatever it is, like, you know, the normal family, suburban Manchester, never had to scream or ask for anything. I was quite blessed, you know.
Yeah.
Grew up in a safe environment. But mental health wasn't discussed in my family, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, and the risk of going too sad with it, like when my, like my nana and granddad died when I was quite young, yeah. And I don't really remember it feeling too sad because my mum and dad would just get on with it. They were workers, they were busy. My dad would just go back to work. Yeah. My mum would get on with it. And, you know, the bills still need paying. That's how people dealt with things, you know?
Times have changed though now, innit, in a
like,
sense.
Yeah, like, back in the day, it's a case of, like, the mortgage still needs paying, the bills still... Yeah, you need to still put food on your kids' plates. Like, I never knew what it felt like to be open mentally. So, as a result of that, when I got into my relationship now that, like, you know, I'm getting married and stuff, and like,
yeah, congratulations,
thank you.
By the way,
10 thank
weeks
you very
time
much.
You're sweating, oh, it, you're sweating it, look,
yeah.
It.
I'm ready though, I'm so yeah. ready, yeah.
Got how long ring. You been engaged, bro?
Been engaged since August last year, yeah. So yeah,
I'm getting there, innit, I'm getting there. Ooh. Exclusives. The missus is gonna be watching this. Like, what?
She's gonna be like, "When you fucking gonna do it then?" You
but now we want to do the get married abroad thing. So when
which is
we
what we're doing?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, we're doing Florida, innit?
Oh, right. Is so that why he was on about Mickey and that? The other
yeah,
day? Right.
So
I'm with you. I'm
I was
with
saying on one of the tracks, I was like, "We just booked again to go Disney. Say what you want. I'm boys with Mickey."
Mickey. Yeah, that's like, it. Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
is it. Like at the end of the day, we marriage and stuff, and like I'm only learning this now because. You're only really ever on one side of making a wedding happen. Usually, you get invited in it, you get invited to a stag, you get invited to the wedding. You don't think about all the moving parts. But my God, like,
yeah.
If you're doing it abroad, I respect it fully because it's so much stress. Like, I'm so glad I'm not doing the whole wedding reception and the wedding ceremony in the UK. We're only doing the wedding reception after in Bury, which is a bit of a party. But oh my God, the politics, man. I just wish I never did it. I wish we just town halled it, bro. Because at the end of the day, I love my missus and that's all that matters.
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of these people I'm inviting to my wedding, I love them to bits, yeah, but we see each other once every
that's why I'm doing
years.
It abroad.
I respect it.
Because if and we're gonna we're looking to do it like Caribbean, like Jamaica or somewhere, yeah. So if we do that, it's gonna be a lot of money. So we're gonna get engaged and then plan it for like 2-3 years.
But the thing is though, who's gonna remember it more out of anyone used to?
Yeah,
that's
my thing is I don't wanna pay £40 a head, £50 a head for fucking Uncle Billy Bobby we've not seen since I was 12, but I gotta invite him because if I don't, my mum's gonna see her ass for me because it's you know what I'm saying. I'll tell you, this is why my son's not been christened.
Yeah,
I'm not majorly religious, but I was christened, so I would have liked to have got my son christened.
Yeah,
but then it comes into politics, and
this is
and
all
it doesn't,
politics.
Just allow it, it's not worth it. So well, that's why we're doing a broad thing.
Like I think I've learned a lot since the pandemic that. Like life moves too quickly for you to be friends with everyone, keep up appearances with everyone. And I don't know if this is a guy thing, and this again, I don't know if this is like a I don't want to go on toxic masculinity too long, but I've noticed with guys, we cannot see each other for 5 years and it be exactly the same way as the day that we last saw each other.
100%.
But I feel like with my missus, her friends and stuff, they do need to stay in touch regularly. Yeah. They do need to keep that bond strong in it because like your girls are your girls, innit?
Yeah,
but like with
me,
like I probably have like 2 or 3 like really, really close mates. And then everyone else I'm acquaintances with.
Yeah.
And we see each other like once every other year. Because like, I moved to London for like 5 years and some of the people that I was best mates with, I didn't see like more than once. Then I came back to Manchester and it's blessed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, life is so like fragile though, man. Just spend it with the people you love to spend your time with because, you know what I mean? You
message.
Know, tomorrow's not promised, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Where was we going with that?
I don't know. Was on about the wedding. I'm sweating it now because I've said that I'm near there and I've said
thanks, but no one's going to see this.
I'm joking, man.
But yeah, like, I feel like the pandemic has made me realise that, like, I love my own company. I love my home comforts. Like, now I've got my setup and that, I don't need to, like, go studio at 9 p.m. at night and get a taxi there and, like, you know, wait for the mic to be free and all that. And I don't need to, like, go into town and, like, meet up with people just for the sake of, like, being a good mate. It's like, you know, and, like, now I'm fully self-functional. Like, I can record my own music. I mix my own music. I can make money from home making music for other people.
Yeah.
I'm blessed, you know what I mean? And
how's that going, by the way, the beats? Because we'll plug that now.
Yeah.
Making beats. We just told you it's getting getting married in Florida.
Yeah.
Support the thing. I was going to set up a GoFundMe.
Or just buy my music.
Yeah,
you know
buy
what
his
mean?
Music,
like,
man.
Yeah,
buy his music or buy some beats off him. If you're looking for exclusive beats, you watched the Caesar episode last week, which was about an hour ago in real time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've seen the connection made. You've seen the connection made. And obviously before he left, he took each other's number. So,
which is beautiful, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just nice that that can happen naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas he said that, and he's like, I might slide in the DMs. And then I seen your head pop from here, and I'm like,
I never said about slide in the DMs. I thought, wait,
let me just do it. Yeah, he's there. Fuck it, he's there.
Yeah.
All smoke and mirrors, mate. He sat down there.
Yeah, bro.
So
mad.
Yeah. So yeah, with the wedding, just yeah. Quick, because I didn't know you was getting married in Florida. That's sick. So you're going to Disneyland?
Yeah, Disney World, man. Third time there, man.
You've been there before, yeah?
Yeah, man. Been twice. Been 2018, I think. 2017 and 2018. And
back to back like that?
Yeah, bro. It's fucking sick, man.
You like, go with your missus, who you with now?
Just, yeah. Yeah. I've only ever been with my missus, but this time, Charlie's mum and stepdad are there as well with us for the week. So
yeah.
That's going to be nice. But yeah, the thing about Disney is, yeah.
What's your favourite Disney film? Why are you laughing? He's obviously been Disneyland.
What have you done to me, bro?
Yeah, you must have a favourite or a top three selected.
Love Wall-E, innit? Like, I think Wall-E's mad underrated. Man, I think he's beautiful. Bro. Well, you have to understand
I got a kid in it, so I'm on this Disney shit. So let's
make a chat in it. So here's what I love about Wall-E, yeah. It's not dialogue heavy. It's atmospheric. It shows solitude. It shows, like, Wall-E is just like, what are we doing with this podcast,
I like the
bro?
Musical
What's
ones.
What's going on? Nah. Listen, Encanto's fire, yeah. Encanto's
beautiful. You know what? I can't lie, I've not fully took that in, but Moana bangs.
Moana's amazing.
The soundtrack bangs.
But this is the thing, yeah. It's Lin-Manuel, isn't it? Lin-Manuel did Moana and he did Encanto.
Yeah.
And he wrote Hamilton, and the guy is just an absolute genius.
But OGs of OGs is Toy Story.
Yeah, love Toy Story, love Lion King. I think Lion King 2 has one of the best Disney songs ever in He Lives in You, which is a banger. Like, if you listen,
we'll
to
put
it,
the link for that. I'm joking.
yeah. That's that. This episode's not coming out because it's gonna get copyright struck. But yeah, look, I love most Disney films. To be fair with you, I think there's some really good.
What do you like about Disneyland then? For you, if it's keep going back,
it's just sensory overload in it. Like, yeah. And it
do you
is,
like? Are you into your sensory shit then?
Yeah, like, I am. Yeah, like, and the thing is, we go at Halloween in it, so we get to do the Halloween theme stuff. So
I bet that's
we go Universal, do the scare mazes, and get drunk and like go walk around and like.
Is that them
that.
Things where people jump out?
Yeah.
I went to one of them.
They're crazy, bro.
They're nuts.
And then obviously, like, with Disney and stuff, like, it just takes you back to a place of pure bliss of childhood and that, like,
yeah. Is it like a nostalgia thing?
Yeah. And I'm big on nostalgia, innit? And yeah, I'm big on, I think that you should repeatedly do things that make you happy. And if it's walking around and taking in the scents and looking at Cinderella Castle, like, do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're once, man. Like, and sadly, the roller coaster ain't going around again. So
if you've got sensory, like, you're into your sensory stuff, though.
Yeah.
Like,
but it makes me feel, weirdly enough, when I go there. It doesn't feel too stimulating. If anything, it makes my head feel a lot quieter when I'm in places like that because you've got
somewhere
to be
as busy as that.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's weird. Like, when I went to Glastonbury, it was one of the best things ever for me because I felt at home because I was like, I'm around musical people. It's great. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like my head's busier when I'm doing absolutely nothing because that's when I get time to think. When you're sort of forced into a moment and, you know, you have to do something, your fight or flight instinct kicks in, isn't it? And then your brain sort of like zeroes in on what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it. But it's just, it's vibes, man. It's great. No, the food's great as well.
It's just interesting. Like, you wouldn't, like, Blizzard just at Disneyland.
I got recognised, funnily enough, last time I was there.
In Disneyland?
But if I can explain this, yeah.
Was it Mickey?
Imagine, yeah. It was, it was Brad, Tiana. Yeah. I was speaking to a guy and me and my missus were in the Emporium, which is like the shopping bit in Magic Kingdom. And we was just like taking in the air conditioning because it's dead hot.
I was gonna say.
We started speaking to this guy and his missus, and they were like, I think they were on the honeymoon or they'd just getting married like really recently. And they were from like Birmingham way. And I was like, oh, you're from the UK too? And he was like, yeah. And then we got on the bus back to our hotel and the missus messaged me and was like, oh yeah, we just realized who you were when you left. All the dots sort of signed
together. You know what's happened there? They've spoke to you and he's had an inkling that I think that's Blizzard.
No, because we started speaking to them first, didn't it?
Oh, right.
Like, we just like started having a chat, but they must have like...
When you've left,
when I've left, they were like, But I didn't mention who I was. This is what you have to understand. Like,
yeah, that's what
we're
I'm
just
saying.
Chatting
you probably
as, maybe,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it was
you
just
funny.
Thought,
that's the guy who clashed his teacher.
And in my head, I was like, I would have got serious, you fucker. I would have got serious brownie points off my missus if I got recognised in America, like in real time. Yeah. So I was there, like, look, fucking sick. Yeah, those people we spoke to.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Sick, man. Shout out Disneyland. Shout out what a sponsor
us. You can imagine. Yeah. The mouse.
Yeah. So, we'll just, I think you briefly touched on your Bandcamp.
Yeah.
We'll push that as well.
Buy everything.
Yeah,
please.
Buy everything. So, on your Bandcamp, I remember, I think Fletch, the producer, was on about it.